Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hi everyone, welcome to a super duper bit of bonus material courtesy of your friends at No Such Thing as a Fish. This is an episode of Drop Us a Line, which is our audience feedback show. If you listen to it and you have no idea what's going on, then don't worry, you are in good company, because this was Anna's first episode back after maternity leave, and honestly, she had no idea what was going on either. This episode was released on Clubfish quite a few months ago. Clubfish is our Patreon place. If you go to patreon.com/clubfish, you can find out all of the stuff that's on there. But we're also releasing it because if you like what you hear, and if you are in London, then you can come and see our first ever live Drop Us a Line recording at the London Podcast Festival on the 12th of September. Streaming and in-person tickets are available now at nosuchthingsafish.com/live. But in the meantime, all we want you to do really is to listen to it and enjoy it. So please listen to our audience feedback show, Drop Us a Line. On with the podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh yeah, you got it. I was going to tell you what you have to do in this situation.
I remember how it works.
Welcome everybody to Drop Us a Line.
Look who it is.
Special edition.
It's me.
It's Anna's first episode back on Drop Us a Line, which is now, by the way, the main thing we do, Anna. Everything else is a front for Drop Us a Line. Okay?
This is the heroine behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Grocery shop.
Yep.
Cool.
So welcome.
Thank you.
Back. Right. Cut. Welcome to Drop Us a Line, our audience feedback show. My name's Andrew Hunter Murray, and I'm here with Anna Tyszynski and James Harkin.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
We've had some fantastic emails.
Have we?
I'm not even exaggerating. So we're going to start off with a one-off section, The Return of Anna, because lots of people have been writing in.
That's nice, because when you first came on the podcast, when you came back after your break, the first thing you said is there not going to be like a special intro for me?
Yeah.
Starting with fact number one, it's Anna Tyszynski.
Just straight my facts straight, or a little welcome back to me intro?
No.
God, you haven't been gone that long. Do the fact way.
She wants her own welcome back at her intro.
Like a little speech or something.
Welcome back at. It's been awful without you.
I know. I've heard the episodes.
Liar.
I'd rather pull my own teeth out than doing the intro 3 weeks late.
I've been saving it up because there have been so many nice comments. So let's have a few.
Great.
See if you can spot the theme of these comments. Okay.
Sarah
writes, love the podcast and looking forward to Anna's return so that she can whip you boys back into shape. Frank Cardinale writes, just wondering if you three are fearful of Anna's reaction to what has become of the podcast in her absence.
Fortunately, I've never listened, so.
I love it, but it does have a feeling of the kids running rampant while mum's been away.
Oh.
Theo Warren, welcome back, Anna. Please get these guys back in line. Anthony, can't wait to hear Anna back on the show. Brackets, you guys are great, but after a while, the class needs a teacher.
Wow.
Okay, wait a second. Look, I thought this was going to be a big Anna's so great fest, but I've been called a mum and a teacher.
It's very Anna is the disciplinarian.
Right.
Is what the listener's been getting over the last 12 years. Don't know how you've got that.
God, I thought of myself as the chilled out, fun-loving clown.
Oh, no. but a correction. From Deirdre Cooper.
Okay.
The podcast blurb in the Apple podcast player referred to Anna as a prodigal podcaster.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
Prodigal means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, which is what the prodigal son did in the story in the Bible. He spent all his money and he had to come back and...
I saw the blurb. It angered me as well, Deirdre. Don't get me wrong. I felt like it wasn't a good start for me to open my return by sending a furious WhatsApp message on our production group. But yes, prodigal refers to the habits of the son who returns, not the returning.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I was merely using it as a metaphor for you, so people would know that you did something similar to what the sun did, which was return.
Yes. Right? No, but, I get that.
But I think also you are wasteful and extravagant.
Yeah, that's actually what James meant secretly. That's why I've had to come back to the show. I didn't want to.
Right. Thanks, but no thanks. Which I think you might have coined, Anna.
It sounds like me.
It sounds a bit polite for you, really.
True. Well, congratulations, Rafael Alvarez. Had an idea for a new tier of Club Fish.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's nice.
So we've got a dual citizenship, plenty more fish, and then friend of the podcast. Rafael is pitching foe of the podcast.
Mm.
For an exorbitant amount of money, members can claim one of a limited number of foes of the podcast to curate or fight. Haven't worked out the details. A few examples to get it going. Mark Twain, Adolf Hitler, Zoe Williams, the Guardian writer.
Do we have beef with Zoe Williams?
She wrote a piece asking why we're such bros on this podcast.
Yeah,
and
true.
It was, I think, even if you disagree with that piece, I think Hitler and Mark Twain, that's not...
Hitler, Mark Twain and Zoe. Oh, what a weird dinner party.
And the Treaty of Versailles.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Greg Wallace, of course. Yeah. Forward the podcast.
Is he?
He was for a small amount of time. We mentioned him a few times as a foe of the podcast.
Did we call it before or after he became a foe of everyone else?
Right, that counts for nothing. Yeah. For bonus invective, people in this tier can hear the uncensored clip in which Anna says which country has the ugliest men, and or the one in which Dan says which celebrity rejected a chance to meet Buzz Aldrin because they weren't a fan of space.
Yeah, there's been a few of those redactions over the years.
Yeah.
The thing to know is that I delete the original.
Yeah.
So you can never go onto my hard drive and find out who those celebrities are because I delete them.
That's good.
Just in case someone steals my laptop solely so they can find out which celebrity is not into space.
Which country has the ugliest men? It's so weird. I really want to have access to that file so I know who I think has the ugliest men.
Yeah.
It must have been. I wouldn't have redacted it if it was a country that we would never play in. Right?
Right. Oh, that limits it.
I see.
I feel like I would only do it if it was like Wales or something, somewhere where we might play and you might...
Is that even a country, though? Moving on. That's a joke, people of Wales.
Let's go on to... Let's move on.
Just a joke. It's just a joke.
Yeah. To a bonus bream.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also a get yourself off the hook.
Oh, I'm not familiar with these. Go on, then.
Okay, bonus bream is where we get extra information about something that we said in the podcast. Getting yourself off the hook is where we've made a mistake and Andy tells us about it.
Cool. Yeah. But you may be able to get yourself off the hook if it's...
It's worth saying that all of these names have lots of subnames that mean the same thing.
Right, okay.
Or sometimes the same name means two different things.
I'm sad that I missed all the brainstorming sessions.
There was no brainstorming. There was one brain involved.
Yeah. I feel weirdly, James, I don't know how you feel about it. I feel weirdly like I'm presenting Drop Us a Line to Anna, and I feel a bit nervous.
Mm. I'm not surprised you do, with good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just in the... You're Ofsted, I think, and I'm a teacher who's like been horsing around for a long time.
Hey,
we haven't read Measure for Measure.
I just say, if you thought it wasn't fun being called a teacher, you've now gone to Ofsted.
I know. The one who fires the teachers. Right.
And we've been dealing with a manageable class size of two, but I've still screwed it all up, I would say. Okay, Jamie writes, I write in the confidence that you're a podcast who appreciates extremely pedantic corrections.
Fair enough.
In your most recent episode, it was stated that neither Oliver nor Richard Cromwell could have observed the Chinese steam car.
I believe it was you who said that, Andy.
It was me who said that. While this is true, because it was in the 1680s, while this is true of Oliver, Richard Cromwell could in fact have observed it. He reigned as Lord Protector for less than a year, but then resigned and lived in exile until the age of 85, dying in 1712. And we've mentioned this before, he was the longest lived head of state until Queen Elizabeth II.
And did he go and live in China?
Yeah! That's right.
Hey, here's a fun thing I read. This is bonus bream from me.
Lovely.
Who's the first European that you can think of who went to China?
Marco Polo.
Do you know? He wasn't. Kind of, obviously. There was other people who went even as far back as ancient Greek. Some people went to China. Okay. But Marco Polo's dad and his uncle both went to China.
No way.
He wasn't even the first Polo to go to China.
That's really good.
Isn't that amazing?
They must have been so pissed off with him when he wrote the book claiming.
He was a Nepo explorer.
I should have known, because in his memoirs, he calls his dad drunk from a beach saying, please fly me out of here.
Here's a bonus bream from Peter Blum.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In a recent episode, you noted Earth is the only place with plate tectonics and that they thus may be necessary for life, right?
Interesting.
Did you know there is another hypothesis which suggests that life is actually required for plate tectonics? Because little life is so abundant, you know, small like microorganisms, that it creates things like mud and limestone, and that sort of lubricates the plates, and that might kickstart the kind of tectonics we now have. What a theory.
It sounded silly, but when you explain it, you explain that you're not just saying that a human one day said, earthquakes, and it happened, then it makes sense, actually.
It does.
Yeah.
I love that all modern earth and rock are all made of animals. I've always loved that the reason chalk is white is just because it's skeletons. The White Cliffs of Dover is all just dead things.
Yeah. Well, as a boring old teacher, you would like chalk.
We actually have an interactive whiteboard now.
That you've drawn on with permanent marker by mistake. Rodeo Clown number one.
Okay, Rodeo Clown Anna is where...
Well, what do you think it is?
I was actually here for this. Rodeo Clown Gate. I really hoped it might have blown over in the 9 months I've been gone, but...
Nothing has blown over. If anything, more shit has blown into where we are.
Right. I didn't know it had turned into a segment. I remember Rodeo Clown Gate.
What segment would it be, do you think? What does it mean?
It's something where we say, "Whoa, what's this thing?" And a million people write in and say, "I'm so insulted, I'm this thing."
Brilliant.
Kind of. Yeah.
Just getting a lot of emails about something.
So what's the Rodeo Clown this week?
I'm going to start with Laura Falconer. I'm writing in off the back of the latest Little Fish to let you know that Rag and Bone Men, brackets people, are still going strong. Rag and Bone people.
They're not going strong. I don't know the context, but where are they going strong?
So what happened was, I mentioned that when I was growing up, we had Rag and Bone Men.
Yeah.
But in fairness, they're not always men, but they're always known as Rag and Bone Men in where I came from. But anyway, we had them growing up, and even into my 20s, we had them. And Andy was very surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I've been schooled thoroughly. Sheffield, 2020 to 2022. Laura Falcon has seen evidence of them. Mm-hmm. Calling for any old iron. She says, James isn't old. He's just northern.
That sounds like someone saying something when they look at my face. Oh, you look old. No, I'm not old. I'm just northern.
Rob Hardesty says, I remember them on horse-drawn carts in the late 70s and early 80s in Rochdale.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a northern thing. Annie Self lives in the small rural town of Bungay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it's Bungie, not Bungay. Yeah, sorry. Famous for having lots of Satanists. Not that I've ever met one. Not that you know, Annie.
Really? Are they like the Masons or something? I don't know.
You wouldn't mention it. Well, probably some people mention it as soon as they meet you. Hi, I'm a Satanist, actually.
Oh, yeah,
but some people probably keep it. Like a vegan. How do you know someone's a Satanist? They'll tell you as they pull out your twitching heart and rub it on a wall to open a portal to the nether realms. But Annie says, we have some guys come around in again in a flatbed truck shouting, any old iron, which is the proper...
Any old iron. See, that's a Cockney song, isn't it?
Yeah. Then... Lisa Surtees has a slightly related thing because she remembers them from Hartlepool.
It is going strong, that sounds like. I take it back.
But Lisa moved to Hartlepool and says, we have some of the last sea coalers. Twice a day, they drive a truck out to the beach when the tide is out, gather the coal that has settled on the beach with shovels and load it into their truck
every day.
So that's it.
Wait, I think they're turds, aren't they?
They burn the same. They burn sweet and bright. And then Lisa says, there aren't many places in the world where coal deposits wash up on the beach. Yeah, I think not. But Hartlepool is one of them.
No way.
It sloughs off and washes onto the beach.
Sloughs off from nearby
from the coal, coal the, mines. The nearby seam of coal, which is exposed at the seabed.
Wow.
So it just...
That's fantastic. Really
cool. Daniel Painter says... In Little Fish, you had a quick think of who is the most hatted modern-day leader.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Does the Pope count?
Oh, he has to.
Yeah, he's winning, isn't he? What constitutes a hat?
Are you thinking skullcaps for a chief rabbi or something?
I'm thinking skullcaps. Yep. I'm thinking like Yasser Arafat's.
You know what? That's what I said. And they mocked me of not being up to date with my world leaders.
He's not old. He's just Palestinian.
I'm glad to hear that someone else has similar cultural markers as I do.
Do you think Keir Starmer would do better if he always wore a top hat?
Yeah.
Oh, without doubt.
He definitely would, wouldn't he?
Anyway, look, we've got 50 pages of emails to
Jesus get Christ, to. Andy, because I have to leave today.
He you doesn't think listen.
You,
do.
You go when I say you go, not when the bell says you go. Right, let's come on to Boffins.
Oh, I'm so glad this is still in.
Yeah. Experts on stuff who've written in to school us. Mendel Skulski. What a name.
It'd be good if he ran a ski school.
It says, I run a small skiing school. Just thought I'd offer a slight correction on the kelp highway hypothesis.
Okay, so this was the theory that humans moved down the American coast to follow the seaweed.
The West Coast, where there was lots of seaweed, I think it was James who mentioned in passing that people were surviving in transit by eating kelp.
I think it was you.
I think it was me.
No, it was you.
It's quite likely that some kelp was being consumed, but more likely it was all manner of seafood. Fair point. Because kelp houses lots of animal species, basically.
Oh, yeah, I see that. But
there's
like
kelp, there's other stuff.
Yeah.
But he says, in case you're interested, we, future ecologies, spent 3 whole episodes talking about kelp and its ecological and social entanglements.
Is this
an advert for this guy's podcast?
Well,
redact that.
I suppose so, yeah.
Unless they pay us.
Okay. But Mendel then adds a great fact, which is the reason I wanted to come to this. It's the fact that sea otters were restored to the west coast of North America after having been driven nearly to extinction, right? Sea otters are almost wiped out. And they were restored not for ecological restoration, but to evacuate them from impending US nuclear testing in Alaska.
Oh,
That's just a cool fact about that.
Yeah, nice.
Right. I don't know what section this is. Oh, it says MISC at the top here.
Does everything need to be a section? Yeah, surely we should just have...
It does.
Fishelaneous.
No, it's muscellaneous.
Oh, that's
muscellaneous.
Brilliant. Did you just think of, or has it been?
No. No, but when I said it the first time, I had just thought of it.
And then I wrote it down. And then I've never remembered it since then. But I'm writing it down again now.
There's a lot of writing stuff down in this podcast now.
Okay, cool.
How's the inspection going, Anna?
I'm writing a lot of stuff down here as well, Andy.
Okay, here's a question for you. Hayley Thompson, long-time listener here. I'm planning my first trip to the UK, specifically to London.
Okay.
I often listen to older episodes of Fish while I'm working, and I've been jotting down places to go that you've all mentioned as possible destinations in anticipation.
Okay, anywhere else apart from Wetherspoons that she's planning to go?
It's not all Wetherspoons, she says. I'm planning to go to Dishoom.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. The That's Wetherspoons cool. of the East. That got me thinking.
I love that marketing idea.
Yeah.
That got me thinking. If you could all pick a spot that you'd put on a Fish tour of London or the UK, what would it be and why?
Mm.
So I thought I'd put you on the spot.
I like those next to Cleopatra's Needles, those, is it the two lions?
Sphinxes.
Sphinxes, yeah, where Dan said you could put your finger in the bomb holes.
Yeah.
That was quite a good moment of Fish.
That was great. And actually, once you finish there, because that's on the embankment of the river, and you should go to spend a lot of time near the river, go to the Basil Jet Memorial, which is by Embankment Tube. And it's just quite roady, but it's in a wall, isn't it? It's just in a wall, and it's Joseph Basil Jet who built the sewers, and it's on land that he reclaimed from the river. Yeah. What's your pick, Anna?
Oh, I would say go to Do you know we did that episode on Thomas Hardy, Thomas Hardy's grave? So Thomas Hardy designed the graveyard in King's Cross, was it at the time?
Yeah.
But then it all got moved. And now there's kind of a monument to it just behind King's Cross. And it's this amazing kind of tree with all these old gravestones sticking out
of it. Spiraling around
it. Spiral. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really good. Mm. Poets Corner of Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey.
All that.
Tower of London.
I mean, they're just places.
St. Paul's Cathedral,
Literally, they will be on your first page of Google.
Buckingham Palace.
London Eye.
London Eye.
If you can get out of the city, Stonehenge is a good day.
Shrek's Adventure, if you can't.
I tell you what, if you're coming from North America and you've got a bit of time to spare, France is nice. Yep.
London Zoo has a lot of animals from all over the world. Oh, yeah. You don't need to go anywhere once you've been there.
Yeah.
So there's our
Big Ben. I mean, genuinely, these are... We live in a city of jewels.
Sure.
Wonden, that's what I call it, because it's wonderful, you know?
Bloody hell.
This is a bit called Bad Romance. Because we've had romance,
yeah.
R-O-E.
Yeah, I get it, yeah.
Fish eggs.
Yeah.
This one's about Lady Gaga.
This is the facts about Lady Gaga. Yeah. Yep. Alex Dean writes, as a long-time listener of the show, I've always hoped to one day work a fact from the podcast organically into real-life conversation. Mm. Unfortunately, due to my terrible memory, I've never managed it until the other day. While on a date, we walked past a model train shop.
Jesus. Wow, lucky date.
As we stopped to look in the window, I suddenly remembered...
Come back. We need to look in this window for a bit.
I suddenly remembered a fact from the show that I was delighted to finally deploy naturally in everyday life. I turned and explained that the coal used in model railway exhibitions is actually just small, crushed up pieces of coal.
Rita, I married her.
She replied that was one of the dullest things she had ever heard. I don't know what to say, Alex. It's how you tell them.
Yeah. If she could get in touch with me, I think we might get along pretty well.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's just lovely.
Congratulations,
well,
Alex.
Good luck getting back on the apps, Alex.
Your person's out there. She's out there. There we go. Logan writes, this is a thing, this is a sort of micro clown. This is a little clown.
Okay.
I'm listening to Drop Us a Line, the episode in which people have written in about having a difficult time telling Dan and Andy's voices apart.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure the inbox is bulging with even more people contributing their thoughts on the matter. Sort of, actually. A few people have written in saying... Yeah, can't tell Dan and Andy apart. Logan says, I'm visually impaired in a way that affects central visual acuity.
Uh-huh.
So Logan relies on voice and stature to identify anyone. Logan works as a 911 dispatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So 999 for mm-hmm. British listeners. Mm,
thanks.
And I've got very good at distinguishing voices, right? I work with dozens of units throughout the week and I can identify most of them by voice, having never seen them.
Great.
I've listened to this podcast almost every day since 2019 and I still can't tell Dan and Andy's voices apart. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
They don't even sound the same and I can tell that it's two different people talking, but I can't for the life of me identify who is speaking.
What?
I know.
Yeah.
That sort of it implies they sound different to you, but what they're saying is sort of so non-memorable that you haven't managed to peg it to their name.
Or memorable in the same way.
Yeah.
They just say the same sort of stuff all the time.
Same, yeah, exactly.
That's a bit of a slam, isn't it, Andy?
Well, on someone.
on someone, yeah. What? I mean, no one has a problem identifying your voice, James.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
They do mistake you and I when they see pictures of us.
Yeah.
And whose voice is whose.
That's true.
But I think my actual voice, they would know it was James, but they might not know what I look like.
Wow.
So this is Andy speaking now.
Well, Dan's not here.
Yeah.
That's why he's not.
Is this easier today, Logan? Yeah, yeah. Right. Come on. Get yourself off the hook. Dave Wang writes, lifelong bilingual. And that's not just a boast, because also fish listener since day one. Dan's Chinese name should be Shrai Bo, which literally sounds like Schreiber and means handsome uncle.
Ah, now, not this is, Uncle Egg.
Because Dan said his Chinese name was Uncle Egg. Mm-hmm. And then Dan texted me separately saying, oh man, I misspoke on fish, so apologies if you get lots of emails. We've had one. I said my Chinese name is Uncle Egg, which it is, but I didn't realise I just said my surname bit. So it's Xie Boa Dan in Chinese.
Oh yeah, Dan does mean egg because Dan means testicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full name is Thanks Xie Uncle Boa Egg Dan. Sorry if the inbox gets flooded.
Dan, flattering yourself. The number of people who are listening to what you're saying. Did you know that more than half the people on this earth are fluent in at least two languages?
Oh, that's amazing.
That's good, isn't it?
That's so cool.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. Western white people aren't great on that, but the rest of the world doing well.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of Western white people who don't have English as a first language are great at it.
They are also very good, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just English-speaking people aren't very good at it.
Moaz Akhtar from India here. I was listening to episode 351, No Such Thing as Pop Charts for Bagpipers, in which you mentioned, anyone, do you remember? The World's Longest Cake.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
Was it in Romania or was that the world's longest sausage?
Kerala, South India.
Oh, Kerala, okay. Mm.
The record was broken in Kerala. I happened to have moved to Kerala for work. There is a bakery a few hundred metres from my house which participated in the event.
Wow.
The cake was 5.3 kilometres long. Not 6.5, as you said.
What?
So we got the cake wrong by...
How did we do
that?
Weird,
a kilometre.
Because it's not like we looked at it and estimated the length. we will have got that information from Guinness, I guess, normally.
I don't know. I don't know what...
Maybe someone ate a kilometre of it before that official measurement came in. It must have been good cake.
Yeah, Moaz, I don't think has provided sources, and I haven't checked. So it'll have to be one of those mysteries.
Yeah, we'll never know.
Final clown, bombs dropping and the whistling noise they make. I think I slightly screwed up the explanation of the...
Doppler effect. Did you?
Jonathan, Commander, Royal Navy.
Cool.
What an unusual surname.
says, if it's falling on you, you might hear the increasing note, but you won't be able to tell anyone about it. But if it's dropping on someone else, then a mile away, the pitch will drop down in the final stages because it's sliding down the opposite side of a triangle to you. So this is the sound that survivors hear is relevant. I'm going to paraphrase and be brief because we've had so many long emails about the Doppler effect.
Oh, okay. Have we?
And I'll cheerfully just roll over and say, yeah, sorry.
Wait, what? I don't understand what was also wrong.
I said pitch and frequency and I confused those two. And the whole thing was a cluster mistake. It was surreal.
A cluster mistake.
Peter Drake, listening to your recent episode involving spermaceti.
Oh, yeah.
I wondered when you'd get to Moby Dick, a book famous for being comically obsessed with this fluid.
Yeah.
Andy, you got there first with the line, eat it, Ishmael. But I'm afraid you misstepped. The harpooner was not Ishmael, but his bunkmate, Queequeg. I am sure many people will have pointed this out. Now, on this occasion, I'm going to stick up for myself.
Go on.
I think if I had said, eat it, Queequeg, I would have received blank faces.
If you said that in a theatre of 3,000 people, you might get one English teacher pissing themselves.
It's made his life. He's thrilled. But genuinely, I could have said Ahab. That would have been another valid joke because people know about Captain Ahab. But they were a team effort hunting that whale. I think it's fine to say the most famous... Call me Ishmael, and the first three words of the book. Just, so rejected.
Aww. Important to be right.
I think we've done, we did a whole section on Moby Dick once.
Yeah.
So I would suggest to go back and find that because it was a good old section.
Was it a goodie?
Yeah, it was.
Mike Giggler.
Do you know what this is, Anna?
Oh, what?
It's where someone writes into us saying, I can't believe you didn't make a joke that you could have made on the episode.
Wait, Mike Giggler?
It's a reference to Private Eye, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I thought it was just the name of a correspondent that we had. Okay.
This week's Mike Giggler is Chris Locke from Farnham. I cannot believe that you discussed the usage of whale meat during World War II rationing and forgot to mention the song Vera Lynn sung specifically encouraging the population of the UK to eat more of it.
You mean whale meat again?
Regardless of the place or time. Very good.
Nice one,
Chris. You got us.
Yeah. That is a good one, actually.
Yeah.
Quite often, these are not very
good. No, that's much better than you. That's much better than the usual. I can't believe you. That's lovely. Yeah. I'm going to steal that.
Vindancation. We've had a vindancation.
Oh, this is where we vindicate something that Dan said.
That's right.
Well, I can tell, and I can tell how long you brainstormed that pun as well.
We had so many emails about this. Tim Groves is a great example of this. I'm just going to do his email. I'm going to take a punt here on being one of a legion of listeners, correct, writing in about this. I have just been listening to the episode of Little Fish from the 25th of May while on a train to London to try a vegan fish taco, brackets, not important, close brackets. And I was shocked to hear Andy and Anna ridicule Dan for his vaguely remembered story about a man swallowing a Fabergé egg. I also remembered this story, and a light search yielded the following. BBC News. Police recover $19,000 Fabergé egg swallowed by New Zealand man.
Okay.
It was an octopusy-themed egg. The James Bond film.
I know the James Bond film.
Yeah, no,
It was a pendant, I think. And it was laid about a week after he swallowed it.
Okay, so it wasn't a false... I think the problem was we didn't mention that it was a pendant and actual Fabergé eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, this New Zealander would literally look like a Kiwi. Yeah. With the enormous egg inside him.
So, but Dan was right. Someone had swallowed a Fabergé thing. And it was
an octopusy-themed Fabergé egg.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe they've branched out from the original days where it's all for royalty.
Right.
I think I kind of assumed that it probably was based in fact because it would be an amazing thing for Dan to have made up.
He's got a funny old brain though.
Yeah, but no, completely fair. Because I doubled down and I teased him again. Mm. So I feel bad for having done it.
Did you message him and apologise?
No.
Oh.
Although the inbox has been flooded by it, so actually I should do. But I do the email, so it's fine.
Why didn't you, to camera, why didn't you apologise to him now?
Oh my God, what? That's like a hostage video.
This is like Johnny Depp when he smuggled whippets into Australia or something.
I'm going to blink to show that I need help. Dan, I'm really sorry. No, I'm sorry, Dan. And I hope you listen to this.
If anyone's being held hostage here, it's not you, Andy. Jesus, what time are we on?
Dave Rule.
Good name. Is this a segment or okay?
Dave Rule says, I wanted to follow up and let you know how thrilled I am. This has become such a phenomenon in its own right. And how much joy it brings me to hear Dan and James squirm whenever one of these comes up unexpectedly. Dave Rule sent the first ever thing that sounds like it's for one obvious reason, but it's actually named after a person with an amusingly apt name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And what was his one? And
this was October 2025. He sent a list of things unexpectedly named after people, including also, I mean, some classics. Main Street in San Francisco, named for Charles Main. Snowflake, Arizona. Taco Bell, named after Glenn Bell.
Okay.
We've had 7 more pages of this stuff the last drop. I don't know what to do. It's what the people want. It's just what people want.
This needs to be a whole new podcast that we don't do.
You almost contractually obliged yourself into something there.
Yeah.
Turn that full stop into a comma pretty fast.
Yeah. Dan Painter, Penny's game about flipping a coin, heads or tails, right? Created by Walter Penny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Daniel Power, there's a suburb of Sydney called Wollstonecraft, right?
Uh-huh.
And I knew Mary Wollstonecraft was an important feminist, and I joked, imagine if it was just named after some dude instead of her. Well, it turns out that Wollstonecraft, the Sydney suburb, was named not after the early feminist and important historical figure, Mary Wollstonecraft. It's named after a man, Edward Wollstonecraft, who's really only known for moving to Australia to escape the notoriety of his Aunt Mary.
That's so good, really.
Yeah, I think he was a big deal in his own right, but yeah.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. I can sense the patience running thin here, so I'm just going to keep salting them away for the book. And when I'm on every till in every bookshop across the world...
That Penny one is absolutely cracking.
I know.
This is really good. This should be a book.
Anna, don't encourage him, for fuck's sake.
Oh, it should be a book.
Get rid of him. He can spend 6 months writing it.
Are we doing an abridged version? How dare you? This is a 10-year project. The book is called 1001 Things That Are Named. Have you not heard that?
What's the book called? 1001 Things That Are...
Well, this is a vexed point.
Anna.
It's something. There's the main header, and then the subtitle is 1001... The Book of 1001 Things.
Yeah.
I'm still working on it. Uh-huh. That you'd think were named for a very obvious reason, but were in fact named after a person with an amusingly apt name.
I think that's very catchy.
It's been proposed by Thomas Groves Bond that this be called the Hunter Index, not named after the hunt for these names, but after Andrew Hunter Murray.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. All right, look, we'll do more of these next time. Thank you so much for everyone who sent one in. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of them. The final closer goes to Anonymous L, who says, I believe that I speak for myself when I say, it's funny, that I actually quite enjoy the incoherent ramblings and the way Andrew Hunter Murray runs the Droppers in Line show, especially the section naming section and the book of things that are named and all that. There's already been over 50 minutes of discussion on the actual facts on the podcast, so not too sure why the others want to do more.
Okay.
A little trade secret. They want to do less. We over-record every time. I keep saying we'll be out within an hour, and we never are.
Anonymous L.
Yeah. I think they didn't want their name in.
No, but why would you with such a heinous opinion?
No, I mean, there are bits we cut out of this show. You know, you'll see.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Are we wrapping up?
We're done. How's the inspection gone, Anna?
I would say special measures coming up for you.
Thank you for listening and watching. If you'd like to send in your stories and your romance, good or bad, or your... What else have we done? I've got a list of things.
Any comments about the show that we've done?
Spicy meat. Your riddle roundabout, your secret squid.
It doesn't have to fall into one of these like weirdly crowbarred categories.
Seaman squabbles.
No, it could just be a comment.
Seaman squabbles. Send us your Seaman squabbles. And then the music kicks in and out we go. And it's podcast@qi.com. Okay, thanks everybody. Bye.